Hello, Grinders, and welcome to the Weekend Grind. I'm your host, Travis Mangone, here to talk with you about about the 10-game Sunday slate that we have for us. Doing a solo pod again for you guys as Josh is away. And let's get started on it. Like I said, solid good 10-game slate. We have some, we have Corey Kluber at the top, so that's going to be the obvious guy on the slate that we'll obviously get to. But let's just get right started now. We have the we're gonna go game by game, and we have the San Francisco Giants at the Washington Nationals. Kick it off with Christopher Stratton against AJ Cole. We still don't have a run total on this game. Obviously, a guy like Stratton and Cole, they're not really guys that we're in love with rostering here. I could see there's some merit with Cole if they throw out a pretty right-handed heavy lineup. The Giants, maybe I could see going that way. Small sample size this year, but we could do the two-year sample to make it a little better. We have against righties, 23K percentage and 113 plate appearances, and against lefties, 20.5. For 6.5K, just like the Giants, man, that offense has been ugly lately. I don't know. I could see some merit in a tournament maybe doing that just because of, there's not a lot of cheap pitchers that we're going to love. And I think it's it could be an interesting option there. Like I said, we're not a lot of good cheap pitchers that we're going to end up talking about. On the other side, we have Chris Stratton. Stratton is not a pitcher you want to roster. I don't care if he's 4,500. This is not a good matchup against the Nationals, and even though they just lost Bryce Harper to injury, it looks like it's bad. He's probably going to be out for the year at least, and probably in the next year, I'm sure. Just the way that injury looked, it did not look good. But Stratton is a guy that I'm just not going to look to roster. He is, just not worth that. He's just, I don't care how cheap he is, just the numbers are not good for him. I would expect some of these Nationals bats to get him. And I can see there being some value here with Harper out of the lineup. I could see some guys moving up, and maybe we get some value. Don't know for sure. So just wait and see what that lineup says. I love Daniel Murphy here. If you can get him in as a nice one-off, I'm definitely interested in playing him. He's probably like the one bat that I really like. I'm sure Adam Lind will get a nice lineup bump here, and he's cheap across the industry at times. So I think there's some guys that you can get here, and depending on the lineup, you might even be able to stack it up. Didn't talk much about the Giants hitters, and I have a little interest in Cole, but I can see some merit in Giants hitters because of their price tags, right? We're still getting Joe Panic, 2.9K, Jared Parker, 3K, Buster Posey, 3.6K. Brandon Crawford, 2.8K. I still think there's merit in either sprinkling these guys in against Cole, or getting like maybe a mini stack just because of the price tags. If it helps fit in some of the bats, again, AJ Cole is a guy that there could be some upside there, but he's a guy that I think we can also take some of these cheaper bats against it to help us be able to fit in some of those better stacks. So don't hate that as an idea on this slate. But not a game that's super appealing. Let's move on to the next one. We have the Pittsburgh Pirates at the Toronto Blue Jays, a 9 total. 4.23 implied run total for the Pirates and 4.77 for the Jays. Jays are -131 favorites. First look, I was definitely very interested in Chad Kuhl. I've kind of been playing him a little bit this year, and he's been a lot better recently. He's a guy that I've liked the roster. I'll just give you his K percentage numbers. He is at a 21.7K percentage against righties and 17.2K percentage against lefties. He's got pretty good ground ball numbers, and the walks aren't terrible. 7.8 against righties and 5.5. You wish it was a little better, but he's a guy that can have a little bit of control issues at times and struggles with lefties. Those lefties can give him fits, and there's not a lot of lefties in the Toronto lineup normally. So I'd be curious what the Toronto lineup ends up throwing out there. And I get Vegas is down on Chad Kuhl. 4.77 run total is not something I would want to target, but I have minor interest in him in tournaments. Tournaments only, 7,100. Don't hate that price tag. I think he's pretty interesting, depending on what the lineup they put out there is. But obviously, bats that I would like are, the lefties, right? Like the power lefties, Justin Smoke and Kendrys Morales. I mean, those are two lefties that I think against Kuhl you can have some interest in. And even a guy like Josh Donaldson, who's been crushing the balls of recently. So those are three bats on the Blue Jays side. If you wanted to consider, I think you could. Moving on to the next one, we have J.A. Happ, and he is going up against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Pittsburgh is a team that I don't love to target a ton. They are against righties. They have a 3.59 wOBA. I'm just Oh, sorry. Never mind. They're against lefty. Sorry about that. Blanked for a second. Against lefties, the Pirates have a lot of righties they can throw out there. They throw a very right-handed, heavy lineup, right? Tomorrow, it looks like it's going to be Marte, Harrison, McCutcheon, Freeze, Ozuna, Josh Bell, Rodriguez, like Mercer. They're just going to throw all of these righties at Hap. And I just think that's not a good idea to, use a pitcher there. It's definitely something we don't want to attack here. In the in just this season alone, J. Happ has against righties, he has a 22.5 K percentage, which is nice, right? Totally understand that, but I just think this is a recipe for disaster. Pirates can hit the lefties pretty good with all these righties in here. Again, another spot that I think I pass on. I just don't think we should go here. I get that Vegas is kind of high on them. Not super high, but 4.23 run total. Again, that was not my guess when going into this game. I thought maybe Cool would be a favorite, but maybe that's a little bit of bias for me. I just think this is a game that I think the Pirates could be very interesting in tournaments at the price tag, just because they've hit righties pretty well this year. And you get like Marte for 3.5K, Josh Harrison for 3.2K, McCutcheon for 4.1. These are just cheap price tags on these guys. Freeze 3.4K, just very interesting cheap price tags. Maybe a very contrarian tournament option that you can talk about here. So I don't hate it, right? Yeah, again, I think it's one of those spots where I wouldn't be going crazy over it. I just think it's an interesting thing to talk about, and maybe go as like a low-owned stack that maybe you want to sprinkle in. But let's move on to the next game. We have the Colorado Rockies at the Miami Marlins, an 8.5 run total altogether, team total, and then we have German Marquez pitching against Vance Worley. You would think with a guy like Vance Worley on the mound, the Rockies would be a heavier favorite. They're only minus 107, though. And for good reason, probably it's just Giancarlo Stanton, man. This guy has absolutely been on fire. And, I definitely have not taken advantage of it as much as I should have over this big stretch. I'll just read you his game logs because I always find that fun to do, just to hear how much he's been crushing the ball. And here we go. Since the start of August, 9, 7, 30, 21, 7, 14, 22, 2, 16, 17. I mean, this guy has been absolutely crushing the ball. He has, what is it, 4, 5, 7 home runs in August so far. I mean, he has just been on a tear. He's a guy that's kind of like, one of the better hitters in the league, matchup proof. If you want to take him, go ahead and take him. I probably should have mentioned him more on the podcast yesterday, but he's just a guy that he's just on such a heater right now. And we talk about, just hot streaks, and some people believe him, some people don't. I think Giancarlo is a guy that just, like, is a very streaky hitter. We saw him either last year or 2 years ago. I forget which one it was off the top of my head. But he was one of those guys that at one point on FanDuel, he cost you, like, 2.6K because he was so bad and was not seeing the ball well. And, I mean, this guy's just on an incredible hot streak. We need to definitely be, playing him in these spots. So if you have the money for him, make sure to get him in. But just in general, I kind of like Marquez as a cheap option today if he can just navigate himself around Giancarlo Stanton. Yeah, so if he can just navigate himself around there. Here are some of the numbers on Marquez. Like 23.2 K percentage against righties, 21.2 against lefties, and that Miami Marlins lineup is not a lineup that I'm really fearing. I get it. The K percentage isn't so high for against righties. The Marlins strike out 18.8% of the time. One of those things that I wish it was a little bit higher there, but this Marlins lineup is not a scary one, and it's a Sunday. I always talk about this. Sundays we can get some weird lineup, so I wouldn't be surprised if we got a weird one. And just these like guys in this bottom of the order, right? Like our currently on RotoGrinders, we've projected D. Gordon, Stanton, Yelich, and Ozuna. That's perfectly fine. We all expect that's probably going to be it. Then we have JT Realmuto, Derek Dietrich, Tomas Tellez, and Miguel Rojas. And don't forget, he gets Vance Worley, too. So I think Marquez is a really interesting tournament option. I like him here. Even you could start considering him in cash games, too, just because the pitching is not so great on this slate. So just someone I wanted to note and talk about. I'm a big fan of him. Like I said, we don't like Vance Worley, but it's weird, right? I just don't want to really put the Rockies in this ballpark. Just huge park downgrade. Again, this is not a park I love to target against, so that's kind of one of the issues. If the roof ends up being open for a day game, I don't think it will be. It's probably too hot still in Miami, but if the roof is open, that definitely helps. So always be on the lookout for that. Like in the coming months, like September and whatnot, when that roof opens up, that's definitely good for hitting, and that could be something we might want to look for going forward. But I don't think this is a game that I'm really going to target too much on the hitter side. Just maybe a Stanton because he's one of the hottest hitters right now, and maybe Marquez probably because I think he's a really interesting play compared to all the other options. But Let's move on to the next game. We have the Cleveland Indians at the Tampa Bay Rays. We have Corey Kluber. He's a minus 200 favorite against Austin Pruitt. Cleveland's implied run total is 4.45, and the Rays are 3.05. It's going to be clear. Corey Kluber is the chalk. Welcome to Corey Kluber Chalk Day. It's just going to happen. He's going to be the guy you want. And for me, I think I'm just going to load up on him and try and be different elsewhere. Also, it depends, right? If I want to load up on, for instance, like a stack like the Astros, it's probably going to be very difficult to do that with Kluber. So depends what I do. If I do end up not playing Kluber, I'm going to make sure it's a stack that I really like. But I think prioritizing Kluber, like especially on a one-pitcher site like FanDuel, I know they have that live final going on over there tomorrow. So if anyone's listening, good luck there tomorrow. I know some people over there are rooting for them to take it down. And hope you guys can have some good finishes and Team Roto-Grinders can do well. But yeah, if I was playing that live final, I'd probably play Kluber and be different. Again, I'm not playing that live final and I'm not there. So, yeah, I just think Kluber is a guy that is just such a great spot to dominate tomorrow. So I'd want to get him in my lineups for obvious reasons. And also, not only that, it's in a great ballpark, right? It's in Tampa Bay, so that's always good. But then we have Austin Pruitt, and Pruitt's a guy that, I don't know if I really want to target him too. If you look at his numbers, he is at, his K percentage is against lefties, and it's a smaller sample, 87 at-bats, and then 136 against righties. It's getting there, but I would like a little bigger. But 18.4 K percentage against righties this year, and then lefties 19.5. He's a guy, his WOBA, though, against righties is 0.405. That's pretty high, and ISO 0.192 against righties. That's really, maybe some reverse splits there on him, but this is definitely, Austin Pruitt is a guy that I think we could play in tournaments. Like, his Sierra is pretty good against, righties, 4.05 against lefties, 3.66. Like, I think we could do it. Again, I just don't like targeting Cleveland, right? They're one of those teams that's kind of on my list of, like, I don't see there being, normally a ton of merit in targeting. But, if you look at this Cleveland lineup that they have rolling out here in the Plate IQ, we have a 23.4 K percentage for righties right now. So, and in a good ballpark, I could see a merit in just game stacking this game up with the pitchers and then just staying away from the hitters completely. I could see merit in doing that. Again, Pruitt, he's a guy, he's going to be cheap, right? On DraftKings, he is 6.4K. I think he's another one of those guys that, you throw in as like the cheap pitchers to put in the conversation. I could see him easily getting you, double digits and then maybe getting you at least like 15 fantasy points. And at 6.4K, if you're getting me 15 fantasy points on DraftKings, I think I'd sign up for that tomorrow because there's just guys I don't love down here that we have to deal with. So, yeah, that's kind of it for this game. I think it's kind of simple, right? Let's load up on the pitchers in these games. And I'm not fading Corey Kluber. Like, don't fade him in your cash games. Please, please, please do not do that. He is the best option on the slate. Moving on, we have Ervin Santana against Matt Boyd. The Twins, it's a 10-run total, 5.1 for the Twins, and then on the Tiger side, it's 4.9. So this is a game we definitely are going to want to, look at the bats here. There are bats that are obvious that we're going to have to love. Let's talk about the Twins side of the ball first. Obviously, like, Brian Dozier and Miguel Sano, two righties against a lefty like Matt Boyd, I want to load up on them. I think those two are, like, some of my favorite plays, honestly, I think, on this slate, just in general. I mean, like, doing that mini stack, like, if I had to pick, like, a mini stack that I love, like, that's it right there. I love that mini stack of Dozier and Sano. I do that a lot, and I think it's a great spot for them against Matt Boyd tomorrow. We should definitely have a ton of interest in that on this slate. Just to give you some numbers on Matt Boyd, Sierra against lefties 4.59, righties 4.29. He has an ISO against righties of 0.182, WOBA 0.369, and K percentage is low, right? 6.9% against righties, like, and against lefties 17.2. I just think Boyd, man, he is just in a spot where he could definitely struggle against here against the righties. So I would mainly want to target the righties here. I could see getting a guy like Chris Jimenez as like a cheap catcher option. I could see him being interesting if he's batting higher up in the lineup. A guy like Robbie Grossman would not mind him if you had to throw him in there. There's just some guys that I think we can include with the Dozier and Sano if you want to stack it up all the way. But for me, I think I'm just going to do the Dozier and Sano and then see what else I can do. And if it naturally fits the throw in another twin, maybe I will in some tournaments. But I do love the Dozier Sano combo, and even in cash games too. Big fan of that. But yeah, next we have Irvin Santana. Irvin Santana is a guy that, man, I never play. He's got like what, 5 complete games this year. It's like kind of crazy. He's a guy that he's just someone I never roster, and he's, you know, kind of just been due for this negative regression to blow up and whatnot. His K percentage against righties is 21.5%. Walk percentage is 10.2%. That's very, very key to see there. When you have like a double-digit walk percentage, that kind of sends off some alarm bells for me in my head. It's like, you know, with him having a 2.202 ISO, you know, against righties, this is just a spot where I could see, you know, if Irvin Santana walks a couple guys and then, you know, lets up a home run to Miguel Cabrera, Castellanos, Upton, any of these guys, Cabrera, I mean, it could easily be a 3-run home run waiting to happen. I just think there's some issues with Santana here, and we should be targeting some of these Detroit bats. Obviously, the guys at the top, right? Like Ian Kinsler, you can have interest in. He's a guy I don't normally love the roster because I feel like the upside is not as high, but he's a guy that has a 10.1 walk percentage. He's a guy that you know, he can walk really well, get on base, and you know, putting him in your stacks is definitely always a good idea. Mike Matuk, if he's batting second, don't love him, but he's a cheap value. Maybe you throw him in there. And then my boy Justin Upton, always like playing him. And, you know, Miguel Cabrera, Castellanos. And I'd stay away from Victor Martinez. He's a guy, man. He has just been awful this year. So I think those are like the 5 I would really look at. And you could throw in James McCann if you need a cheap value catcher where he's cheap. Sure, but I'm not a big fan of these other guys towards the bottom of the lineup, but I think the Tigers are an interesting stack. Like if I'm not going to play a ton of Tigers, I think as one offs, but I think as a stack, I kind of like it just because, like I said, control issues with Santana at times, and he can, you know, he can really, when he lets it up, he can let it up. And if he does let up a bunch of home runs early, like we get that Twins bullpen then, right? So there's value there with the Twins bullpen. It's one of the worst bullpens in the league. So there's tons of value, I think, with stacking up the Tigers here. You know, high run total. Vegas agrees that they have some interest in the Tigers here too. So I'm a big fan of them tomorrow. I think they're a team that you definitely want to get a look at. But let's move on to the next game. We'll talk about my dreadful New York Mets. Oh, man, they traded another guy. They are just awful right now. They are just absolutely tanking. And too bad we can't target them because Zach Eflin is on the mound for the Philadelphia Phillies. It is a 10-run total. Chris Flexen against Zach Eflin. Oh, man, this is a game that you got to like the hitters here, right? On the Mets side of the ball, of course, you got to like Curtis Granderson, Cespedes, Conforto, and Estrubel Cabrera probably won't be in the lineup. If you can get Dom Smith for cheap, he's you know, lefty against you know, righty, definitely has some upside. He's one of their prospects, and I think he could be an interesting guy to throw in there as like a cheap guy. Take advantage of that cheap price tag, obviously. But yeah, Eflin is a guy I definitely am not looking to roster at all. Sierra against righties, 4.87, 4.57 against lefties. K percentage for Eflin, oh man, it is horrible. 13.2 K percentage against lefties and 9.6 against righties. He is just not good. Woba above 3.50 against righties and lefties. Just a spot where some of these Mets bats are interesting, and it's also a small ballpark. I wouldn't sleep on some of these Mets bats. Again, yes, it's a watered down lineup now. I think the most viable plays here would be like the 1-4. Another guy, you could, like I said, Dom Smith, obviously, but you could even have interest, I think, in Wilmer Flores. I get he mashes lefties and whatnot, but we could get him in the Phillies bullpen against a lefty, and if that's the case, that could be really nice for Flores. And on top of that, Eflin doesn't get many swing and misses, so Flores is a guy that's shown a lot of pop this year, so I could see that being interesting. But the main bats I would want here is, like, I'd want Conforto, Cespedes, and Granderson. And if you guys know, you listen to me on, you know, on podcasts and throughout Roto-Grinders, I kind of like doing the full outfield stack sometimes because it just makes your team different than others when you're hand doing your own teams, you know, not scripting and whatnot. So yeah, I think it's an interesting route to go if you want to stack up Conforto, Cespedes, and Granderson all in the outfield, and then you know, fill in your infield with other bats or throw in another Met or two. Sure, go right ahead. I think it's an interesting way to go. But let's talk about the Philly side of the ball. So they get Chris Flexen. Chris Flexen was one of these guys. He came up and he got the Padres' first start. He was kind of kind of chalky that day. He's been kind of a, you know, obviously with the name Flexen, kind of a name that people, you know, gravitate to and say, oh, that's a fun name, obviously. A kind of a interesting option. And he had really good numbers in the minors, but he was in AA, you know, two leagues down or whatnot, and he, you know, got a big call-up. He's only $5,300, and you know, we obviously like streaming against the Phillies. Like, it's something that we've definitely been considering. But the Sierra is gross so far. In 37 plate appearances against righties, a 4.95, and against lefties, 7.83. K percentage against righties, 18.9. Against lefties, 4.8. The walks too are horrible. 10.8 against righties, 19.0 against lefties. I mean, it's just been ugly. The wOBA is extremely high. Again, I don't think these numbers will obviously stay the same, right? Like, he's not going to be this bad of a pitcher. So I can see some regression, you know, coming for him, especially against a team like the Phillies, right? And it's only been three starts. If you need a cheap guy for 5,300, hey, it's the Phillies. I don't hate it. And the Phillies can put out really bad lineups at times. They started calling up some of these guys, though. So I don't know, like with the adding this new guy, Hoskins, who's a nice young power hitter, and a guy like Williams, and, you know, just putting them in there has really made the lineup look a lot more appealing. I don't know. I think I'm going to stay away from Flexen, but I could see people making the argument for it tomorrow. I just think it's going to be somewhere I stay away. Obviously, with a high run total, too, Vegas just doesn't think this is a good spot for him. But we always have to mention it because people like streaming against the Phillies. And I think we're going to, I don't know, it sounds like going forward, maybe streaming against the Phillies won't be the right idea just because they're calling up all these young guys. And, you know, we'll have to see. We'll have to wait and see how these guys really are and evaluate that from there going forward. But yeah, let's move on to the next game. We have the Kansas City Royals at the Chicago White Sox. This is a game where, you know, you definitely have to love the Royals side of the ball. They just went up against a gas can like James Shields, and they didn't come through completely for us. Only five runs on the day, but now they get Derek Holland, another guy that you can attack. Definitely want to attack with these righties here. Holland is one of the worst pitchers in baseball right now. He's maybe not the worst, but he's a gas can, right? He's in that club of terrible pitchers right now. His K percentage against righties is 18.7%, against lefties 13.5. That was Vargas. It was my bad. Still not that great though. 17.1 against righties, 15.9 against lefties, and the Sierra is pretty high, right? It's right near five. Holland has been really bad this year, definitely been struggling, giving up against righties. He's giving up a wOBA of 400 and 260 ISO. I mean, this is definitely a spot where we want to look at a lot of these righties. Obviously, like, you know, one of the lefties I would play is Mike Moustakas on the Kansas City side of the ball, just because he's, you know, he's their best power hitter on the team. I get it's lefty-lefty, and maybe people won't play him. And Mike Moustakas, the way he's just been playing lately, he can hit anyone. But some of these righties are interesting, right? Throwing in a Melky Cabrera, he'll probably be batting cleanup, switch hitter. Wouldn't mind playing him, a Lorenzo Cain, a Whit Merrifield batting first. I mean, we should definitely have some interest in this here against lefties. So these righties are guys you definitely want to consider here. Like, I really think that the Kansas City Royals are an interesting option. High run total, Vegas agrees. But got to have some exposure to them, I think, in your cash games and in tournaments too. If you can get them in your cash, sure. I don't think you have to have exposure to them, but if you can get them in, you know, it's a good idea against Derek Holland. But let's move on to Vargas right now. So Vargas, and again, it's a pitching slate that we don't love. I don't think I'm going to end up playing Vargas. I don't love that price tag of 7,800. It kind of feels like one of those slates where I'd rather just go, you know, cheaper. Like the mid-range is just a spot I don't really want to hang out in. I'd rather try and go in the cheaper range and fit in some bats. I get, you know, streaming against the White Sox, right? It's something that we obviously would like to do. Here's the thing, though, against the one thing I think that helps Vargas, right? I know the K percentage against lefties is 13.5%, and the K percentage against righties is 18.7%. But, the White Sox are striking out a ton right now against lefties, 25%. But it's a very small sample size. That's kind of the problem, right? We have some of these newer hitters up, some of these guys that have not seen a lot of action, like Smith, Moncada, Delmonico, Angle, like just small sample sizes against lefties. So I don't know if that 25K percentage is as real as it says, but I think, you know, it's definitely worth noting, right? So I think we should definitely be considering that here. Sierra against righties is 3.90, against lefties 4.7. So Vargas is a guy that if you want to play, you can do it. He's just a guy I don't think I'll end up going to. I get the argument for playing him, but I wouldn't do it. White Sox had a 4.67 run total, and if I had to play any White Sox, I'm going to play Jose Abreu. He's definitely a guy that he's kind of a streaky hitter in his career too. He's one of those guys that has been kind of streaky, and hey, he hit two home runs yesterday. I'd definitely be worried about Jose Abreu. He can definitely smash left-handed pitching, so If I had to play one White Sox and you're forcing me to do it, it's Jose Abreu, but I'm sure most people are thinking that same thing. But don't hate him as a one-off, right? Cheap one-off, 3.4K if he fits that spot on DraftKings last spot. Wouldn't hate that. But let's move on to the next game. We have Salvatore Romano against Matt Garza, 10 implied total in Milwaukee, 4.6 run total for the Reds and 5.39 for the Brewers. Brewers have been crushing the ball. They weren't at the start of the week, right? But the past two games they have. It just seems like whenever Milwaukee and Cincinnati get together, man, it just becomes a hit fest. It just really seems like that's the case always. But I definitely think we need to have interest in these Milwaukee bats. Be on the lookout for the lineup, right? We don't know what the lineup will definitely always be. They kind of shuffled around. They just traded for Neil Walker. Travis Shaw, I believe, got hurt too. I saw something on that. Let me pull it up now just to make sure. Yeah, he's wearing a walking boot, so yeah, he's questionable. I doubt he plays tomorrow. So, but yeah, Jonathan VR, if he's batting first, you know, he's going to be a cash game guy, I think, that you consider, especially on FanDuel where he's cheap. Same with Eric Thames. He's over there cheap on FanDuel. I think he's another guy you'll definitely be considering against Romano. Romano's numbers against righties, 13.6K percentage with a 10.2 walk percentage, and against lefties, 23.2K percentage and 14.5 walk percentage. Definitely struggling. Sierra against righties, 5.33, and against lefties, 3.95. So Romano is a guy that we definitely want to attack here with Brewers bats. You know, Ryan Braun, a guy who's been hitting the ball really well this week, and he's a, you know, obviously a great hitter, and I always like to make sure he's in my Brewers stack, so I'd make sure he is in there. And like, those three guys are like the main Brewers that I absolutely love, and then from there I'm going to wait and see what the lineup says and kind of make my decision based on that for my stacks and in my cash games. Obviously, if there's some value that gets you know, decides to hit towards the top, I'd obviously want to look at that, right? Like a Manny Pena batting cleanup. We never get catchers really batting cleanup, and when we do, it's something to take advantage of. So Pena's batting cleanup, would not hate that on this slate. But let's move on and talk about Matt Garza, another pitcher that we don't like. He is, you know, not one of the best pitchers against lefties, 5.26 Sierra. Against righties, though, 3.70. K percentage at 20.5%. He's kind of got some, like, reverse splits here this year. So, yeah, I wouldn't... Would not hate looking at Matt Garza here. He's not a guy that I you know, hate looking at here. I'm blanking. It's way too early right now. So Matt Garza is a guy I would definitely look to attack. Oh man, I'm blanking out right now, guys. Very late when I'm doing this podcast right now, but. Guys I would look at, right? I would look at Billy Hamilton. Billy Hamilton is a guy, obviously, I like putting him in my stacks. You know, there's always stolen base upside there. He's a guy that just, you know, he's always matchup proof at stolen bases, so I always like to throw him in there in my stacks. Zach Cozart, obviously, like having him more so against the lefty, but I want him in there. But Votto's the guy you want, right? He's like the best bat in this lineup here. You obviously want him in there. But be on the lookout for the lineup, obviously. There, you could have some value here with Winker. Winker's a guy that was playing good early on, but I'm not a huge fan of him long-term. But, you know, maybe he's a value play that helps round out your cash game for really cheap. Could be the case. But, yeah, let's move on to the next game. Again, like the red side of the ball, I like it, but not in love with it. If I did a game stack, I'm probably going to stack up like five Brewers and then three Reds. That's kind of the route I think I would end up taking. And if I'm on DraftKings, I'd put Votto at first, and then I'd throw Thames in the outfield just to, you know, just to make sure I can get both those stud bats in there. But, yeah, this is a game that I think is always good to game stack, just because, I mean, like, it just seems like they always go, you know, it always goes insane. And the reasons why it always goes insane is both teams don't have that great of pitchers, and they're both pitchers ballparks. It's kind of like the simple reason. It's not just, oh, when they get together, they just happen to go off. Like, there's good reasons behind it, obviously. And they're both teams that have displayed tons of power in their lineup. So let's move on. We have two games left. We have next game, Atlanta Braves at the St. Louis Cardinals. We have R.A. Dickey against Michael Wacha. The Braves have a 3.51 run total, and the Cardinals have a 4.99. Cardinals have been, like, you know, kind of the hot team this week, the sexy team. They've really been crushing the ball most of the week. We have, you know, Yadier Molina. He's been crushing the ball. But here we go. We have R.A. Dickey. So let's see if we have much BVP for him, because I know, you know, not everyone's a BVP truther, but, you know, against R.A. Dickey, it kind of seems like that's when everyone joins together and says, hey, let's see the BVP. So let's pull it up now and see what we have. That's interesting. So, you know, not huge samples. So obviously we need to note that. But Randall Grichuk, who's a guy that, you know, he's definitely been, you know, hitting righties a lot better throughout his career. But 2-for-3 with 2 doubles. So, you know, definitely showing some pop against him. We have Dexter Fowler, 4-for-10. That's one of our best, I'd say, BVPs if you had to pick out there. You know, just 1 double, but, you know, obviously the largest sample and, you know, batting 400 against them. So, Yadier Molina, 2-for-9, Tommy Pham, 2-for-3, you know, nothing crazy here. Matt Carpenter, 1-for-5 with a home run. Nothing crazy here, but, you know, with a 5-run total, in the way the Cardinals have been hitting this week, we definitely want to have interest in them. It should be hot there in Arizona. It looks like it's going to be 81 degrees. So, obviously, these guys are in play. You know, Carpenter, Pham, DeJong, Fowler, Molina. That 1-through-5 is a great way to go. And I don't mind getting, like, Grichuk towards the bottom of the order. Maybe, like, doing, like, a wraparound with that. Then we have Michael Wacha. Michael Wacha for 9.3K on DraftKings. I am going to pass on that. I'm sorry. And against a team like the Braves, who just don't strike out, just does not make any sense to me to do that. I just think it's a spot where we need to pass. I get it, though, right? The numbers, the K percentage has been there. Against righties, he's got a 26.1K percentage. Against lefties, 21.0. You know, obviously the walks are a lot higher. They're double against lefties, 10.5. Against righties, it's 5.4. And the Sierra has been great, 3.05 against righties, 4.14 against lefties. You know, Michael Wacha has been good. But it's just a Braves team that doesn't strike out a ton normally, and I just don't want to pay 9.3K for Michael Wacha. It just kind of seems like it's the price is getting a little too high for me. If I put Wacha in there and then I put Kluber, then I have only 3,400 to work with for the rest of my positions. Maybe that's something you could do in cash games. I don't know, though. For me, I don't think it's something I would do. I think I'm going to end up passing on the Michael Wacha train just because it's a little too high. If the price was cheaper, maybe I'd have some interest. And I'm someone that just does not like targeting Atlanta. It hasn't been a winning proposition whenever I've done it, and I haven't done it in a while for good reason. So we will move on to the last game on the slate, and it's definitely an interesting one. We have the Houston Astros against the Texas Rangers, and it's the highest run total on the slate. It's at 11. We have Dallas Keuchel against Andrew Kashner. It's pretty funny, though. The Astros 6 implied run total on their side is 6, and the Rangers is at 5 against a guy like Dallas Keuchel, something you would not think that you would see in 2017, but yes, that is the case. But yeah, we have Andrew Kashner against the Astros. I'm just going to make it plain and simple. Obviously, you know this. It's the Houston Stackstros. You can stack them up. It's against a guy like Kashner. Kashner's not good. All these guys are going to be in play. Just be on the lookout to see what their lineup is. Just to tell you how bad Kashner is, I'll just read you off the numbers. Sierra against righties, 5.38. Against lefties, 5.47. It's just absolutely terrible. It's funny. The ISO, though, is really low at, 100 and 119 against lefties. You got the K percentage of 11.8 and 12.8 against lefties. I mean, he has not really gotten, like, it's crazy. He's just been like a magician this year. No idea how he's been pulling it off, but dude, it's the Houston Astros, man. We don't know how they've been pulling off what they've been doing. So it's kind of a war of wizards here, if you want to say. The Astros have been doing the unthinkable, and Kasher's been doing the unthinkable. So man, I'm siding with the Astros, though, obviously. The Astros are in a great spot. If you can stack them up, go right ahead and do that. And if you can somehow stack them with Kluber, please do it. I just think it's going to be really difficult because, they're all very priced up throughout the industry. I'll read you some of their price tags now. Springer, 5.3. Altuve, 5.7. Then you got Reddick at 4.4. Gurriel at 4.7. Gonzalez at 5K, Beltran at 3.8. Bregman at 4.8. McCann at 3.5. Then Fisher at 4.3. You might be able to get away with doing, like, Reddick, Gurriel, Beltran, and McCann, and then, like, filling in just Altuve or something, and then putting in Kluber, and then punting your pitcher and throwing in some cheap bats. Might be able to get away with that on DraftKings. Don't know, but, obviously you want to like the Astros here. They're one of the best teams to, look at. The curious one that I have is Dallas Keuchel, right? If you told me Dallas Keuchel was against Texas, I wouldn't expect it to be this extreme of a run total. Again, it's in Texas, right? 90 degrees, so it's great hitting environment. So I get it, right? And Dallas Keuchel, he has definitely struggled since coming back from the DL. So it's obviously the reason why. It's just like he has not looked right. So Vegas still does not agree, that he actually looks decent. So I'll just read his game logs from the last three games. He had Detroit 1.4, Tampa Bay 3.9, and then he had Chicago White Sox. Which, man, the Chicago White Sox, you cannot get a negative 10.8 against the Chicago White Sox. So I wouldn't sleep on going with some of these Rangers bats, right? Like looking at the righties and Adrian Beltre. If you get Delino DeShields, the value play batting first. I mean, that's interesting. Elvis Andrews, Party at Napoli's, Mike Napoli, could see him being interesting. Like Carlos Gomez and a guy like Chirinos, catcher, who's always cheap double home run upside. So, don't sleep on some of these Rangers bats, obviously. And it's something that I think people could do. They could see the name Dallas Keuchel and just be like, oh, I don't want to target him. And then, we get them just under-owned. Curious. Let's look at the prices on DraftKings. I'll read them out to you just to see. That this might be a nice stack to pair off with Kluber. Delino DeShields, 3.7K. Elvis Andrews, 4.8. A little pricey there. Mazzara, 4.1K. Adrian Beltre, 4.6, who I would definitely want to make sure I get in there. Mike Napoli, here's the key, right? Oh, man, we get Napoli for 3.2K, so that's definitely a nice value that we can throw in there against Keuchel if you want for the stack. Carlos Gomez, 4K. Rougned Odor, 3.3K. Gallo, 4.8. And then Chirinos, 3.6. I definitely think you can make it work, right, with the DeShields, Napoli, and Chirinos. If you get them in there and then pair it with, like, a Beltre and then maybe one more bat, I think you'd be able to make that work with Kluber, and it just could be a contrarian way to go. And, if Texas blows out Houston, you're just totally leveraging that off of Houston in a way. If they kind of stink it up, you have the opposite side of the ball, just much lower ownership in the same game with a great game environment. So you're getting exposure to one of the best hitting environments on the slate while everyone's on the possibly higher-owned Astros. But, again, it depends on roster construction. Always look at Chris Giamino's ownership projections, always check that out. And, get Kluber in there, obviously. We wrapped up the slate. Get Kluber in there, though. He's the guy that I think you want to have. I don't think you want to sleep on. I think he's a guy that's going to obviously be in tournaments. Don't get cute, right? Keep it simple, stupid. Just saying, just keep it simple. Don't fade Kluber here. He's just in too good of a spot. I just think you got to have him on this slate. But thanks for joining us, guys. I really liked having you. Again, if you have any questions regarding the slate, give me a follow on Twitter at Travis Mangone. It's TravisMangone. And thanks for bearing with me on the solo pod. Good luck tomorrow. And again, let's say good luck to the guys at the FanDuel Live Final. If you want to track that Live Final and, see how people are doing, see how some of the DFS players are doing, I'm sure we got something on RotoGrinders in the forums. I'm sure you can check out a leaderboard. It'll be around somewhere. So, enjoy that. And good luck to everyone out there. And let's go Team RotoGrinders. And for me, Travis Mangone, I am out.